Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. So today we have I always say a special guest, like every single time.
But she's special. Because you know her from real life.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we have Andrea Lopez, as I call her Dre. Dre and I went to Syracuse together. We met freshman year of college, and we were in the same sorority. And I remember second semester of freshman year, she just was always the funniest person in the room. She's just so hilarious, whether it's just making people laugh in conversation or actively doing impressions of other people. Like, she just has so much talent, and we always said, like, oh, this girl's gonna be on SNL. Like, from the minute we met her, we were like, this girl's gonna be on SNL. I mean, she's not on SNL yet, but she will be.
You all may know her from her Kourtney Kardashian impression, which has gone viral over the past few weeks because she did a really good recap of the Kourtney Kim fight, and mm-hmm. she's really found her niche on TikTok. So if you're TikTokers or Instagrammers like us, you've definitely seen her show up on your feed.
Yep.
So we're honored to have her.
Yeah, so excited to have her. She does a number of different things in the comedy world. So she has a podcast called the Hey Phrase podcast. Mm-hmm. She was on NBC's Bring the Funny, which was like a comedy show, kind of like American Idol. Well, this is her description of it, but it's like American Idol for comedians. I know she's done stand-up before. She, as we mentioned, she does a lot of video content on Instagram and TikTok. So, you know, she's pushing out a lot of amazing content, and she's really, really funny. We wanted to bring her on to kind of get her take on mental health and also how she makes others laugh for a living. But, you know, some days that might be a little tougher, so we ask her about that. And, yeah, just absolutely loved having her as a guest.
I completely agree. I think we talked a little bit about this over the past few weeks and how people are all kind of coping with this time differently. I know I deal with it differently depending on the hour. Like, sometimes I'm really looking for things that make me laugh. Sometimes I can't stomach the things that make me laugh, and I look for things that are just more relatable, like other people going through anxiety, other people having questions. So we talk about all of that with Andrea. And yeah, it was just so awesome having her. We hope that you not only listen to this episode, but look her up after and see some of her videos, because they're pretty awesome. And as a Kardashian fan, you all know that I really appreciate them.
Totally.
So
before we get into that, should we do Peek and Pit?
Definitely. Let's do Peek and Pit.
Do you want to start?
Sure. I can start.
Okay.
My pit is just feeling a little bit uneasy. Like, I think I have reached the point where I'm no longer really nervous about the current moment and, like, potentially, you know, getting infected or whatever. But I'm just kind of like, how so many people are feeling like, when, not only when does this end, but the sad thing is we were all kind of like, when this ends, we're busting open the doors to the bars and we're like going in. And I think a lot of us are experiencing this anxiety of like, is it going to happen that way? And how will we know when it's like, quote unquote, safe? But I think the peak has been kind of realizing that we've never had control over anything that happens. We've kind of just had the illusion of control. And I know I've talked a little bit about this on the podcast, on my Instagram stories, but I think knowing that, like, we actually never had any idea of what the future held, and trying to accept that has been something that I've been working on, and it's been providing a lot of comfort to me. Sarah and I are both, we like talk a little bit about our Judaism and our faith, and I think that's been helpful to me. Like, I don't know, maybe people would hear this and think that it's a little bit discomforting, but I like it because it's kind of like, in January when I was planning for April, I had the illusion of certainty and I had the illusion that I was able to schedule things, but I didn't. So just right now, the curtain has been peeled back on that. The curtain has been pulled back on that, and it's actually provided me a lot of comfort to know that we're all in the same boat and we're all just taking this day by day.
Totally. Love that, and I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
My pit is that I've been feeling a little like off this week, mm-hmm. and it's not like COVID symptoms. It's just like, just off. Don't know how to explain it. Just don't feel great. It could very well maybe a result of the fact that we drank a lot last week. But it also, in my opinion, is the physical effects of my mental health right now. I think that in the last week, I've been a little, I think that for me at the beginning of quarantine, this was all like, it was something new and it was something exciting for me because I'm with my friends and we were having a good time and we still are having a good time, but like this is kind of becoming normal life now. Mm-hmm. Whereas before it was like, ooh, this like fun new quarantine situation.
Totally.
Whereas like now this is becoming my everyday reality and I'm kind of like realizing, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's, I don't want to sound like insensitive. Like I know how hard this time has been for a lot of people and I don't want to be like, oh, it was just like a fun little quarantine thing. Like that's not how I felt, but I was enjoying it so much at the beginning because I was just like, this is something new. I'm with new people. I'm having fun. We're like, it's like all laughs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's becoming like more of a reality where I can't see the end to it, it's, I'm like, I think that I'm getting a little bit more anxious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, again, with the uncertainty of what's going to happen and like uncertainty, like if I feel, you know, if I'm feeling like I'm getting a headache, then my brain convinces me that like something's going on.
Yeah.
And I really like, I'm not feeling any type of sickness, but I think that I've just convinced my mental health has actually convinced my body to feel physical symptoms of like headaches and like a stomach ache. But like, you know, as soon as I relax, they go away. So it's just, I'm trying to just calm myself down and use my normal techniques to not let my mental health affect my physical health, but it can be tough. And I know that this has like happened to me many times in the past. So I'm just trying to like get through it one day at a time. But my peak, aside from the stimulus check that I got today, is that I've been cooking more. And like anyone who knows me knows that I do not cook. Like my roommates have been, I've been sending them pictures of like the chicken that I made and, you know, different little things. Listen, it's nothing grand, but for me it's a big deal because I don't even touch my oven in New York City. Like I don't touch my oven. So the fact that I've been using the oven here every day and using like seasoning is, it's crazy. So the, to me, this has just been really exciting because I'm actually like enjoying it and I've actually been enjoying like looking up recipes. Again, it's nothing crazy, but it's something. And so that was like an unexpected surprise. And so that's been a peak for me. And then when I actually eat it, I'm like, I can't believe that I did that, you know? And it, again, like just to reiterate, like I'm not making these like big five-star chef meals. I'm making like simple chicken, but it's just a big deal for me because this is unexpected. I didn't plan for it. And it's like they're actually coming out good.
Right. I ate some of Sarah's chicken last night and it was really good. It's really hard to make chicken good because it's so easy to like dry it out and it's usually bland, but it was really good. And yeah, I was like eating it off the bone. It was that good. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I think it's it is really important. Like cooking seems like such a mundane part of everyday life, especially as New Yorkers who so often like pick up food from places, but it's a really, really special thing. And we talked about how like annoying some of the aspects of cooking are, and they still are, like grocery shopping, making sure you have everything, especially right now when like you could go to the grocery store and they'll have two of the 10 ingredients that you need. But I think the good thing is like right now there's very little judgment, especially if A, you're the only one eating your food, and B, like people are just, no one is expecting you to be a chef. So it can definitely have its stressful things, but I'm glad that that is something you can maybe take from this, you know, into everyday life, because it's very comforting and good to cook your own food.
Thank you.
I guess before we get into the episode, we wanted to remind you about our partner BetterHelp. That sounded so nasal.
You were like
BetterHelp.
I was gonna say
no. I was like, I don't know.
BetterHelp.
Okay. Before we get into the episode, we wanted to remind you about our partner BetterHelp. Obviously, we use this podcast as a space to talk about how we're doing, and we hope in that way we can relate to you. But of course, it's so important to talk to people who are trained, and Sarah and I are big advocates for therapy. We talk about it all the time. We see our therapist virtually now, so we wanted to remind you all about BetterHelp and the great resource that they are. We have a partnership with BetterHelp. You can get 10% off your first month of service.
Yeah, just go to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine for 10% off your first month.
Love that. And I hope that all of you are using this time to treat yourselves kindly. And for some of you, that may include going to therapy, whether it's virtually on the phone with people you already saw, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. We hope that you're taking care of yourselves, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited right now.
How are you guys?
I just haven't seen you in so long.
I know, right? I mean, like, I feel like I know people's lives, thank God for Instagram and stuff, but like, still, I haven't like talked to you in person.
I know. Okay, you know? So just to intro a little bit. So Andrea, how do you go by in your life today?
Oh my gosh, in quarantine?
No, like, what is your, sorry, like oh, I've always called you Dre, but like.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, call me Andrea, but then you can say like everyone knows me as Dre. People still call me Dre.
Okay. So Andrea / Dre and I know each other from Syracuse. We became friends freshman year, and you know, Liz and I just thought you would be absolutely perfect as a guest on our podcast because you are so funny and such a bright light in all of this craziness that is happening.
Also, for what it's worth, I am like the biggest Kardashians fan ever. I know that probably a lot of people say that to you, but like,
it's true. She is like number one.
Wait,
number
really?
One.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I used to watch religiously. Like, remember the old days when it was like season one, season two, and then Chris was like, you know, hatching baby hens in the backyard. Like, I love those days. Yeah, now it's like a totally different world. But I still keep up, and yeah, so like I still love them too. I still, yeah.
Yeah. And I saw your recap of the fight, which was just like hysterical. You're good at not only the impressions, but like keeping it relevant and timely, which I think is really important.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I try. People are always like, what do you think about this? And I'm like, oh shit, I have to go back and watch the fight. So then I watched the fight and I was like, oh, I have to comment. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you got the play-by-play.
So for some context, and I want to let you like tell the listeners what you do and your whole thing, but just for some context, Andrea / Dre is a comedian. You do impersonations. I want to let you take this over, but right now you're kind of blowing up on TikTok for your Kourtney Kardashian impersonation, which for the record, I heard for the first time in like 2012. So
way back in the day,
way back when. Okay. Tell us a little bit about like what you do and like how this all started and how you really started in like the comedy world.
It's been a crazy ride. I have been doing impressions for a really long time, but of course we went to Syracuse. So I went to school for television and radio. So I thought I was going to go the smart financial route. I would have a job in radio and television. So I got a degree in that, but I always had a passion for impressions. And I've been able to kind of morph that together with podcasting. I started in radio, and then I kind of moved, when I moved back to my hometown of DC, I found a local radio former radio personality turned podcast host. And I've been working with her for over 2 years now. And I learned how to edit, and I use those editing skills to make my own videos. And so I just was always working on my passion project, which was impressions. And, you know, as the times have changed, technology, new apps, I've kind of like morphed with the stages of Instagram. And then there was TikTok. So I've tried to stay relevant, but the whole blow up of on TikTok was not predicted. I just put my videos out there as a way of like maybe a couple people would watch it. It's another outlet I can get my videos out there. But once I really started putting my stuff out there, you know, I got noticed by NBC Bring the Funny, which was a comedy series. Think of American Idol, but for comedians. Mm-hmm. And that was what really started my career. That happened a year ago to this, pretty much like to this week, I think, because I got my memories on. Mm-hmm. But that was how I got an agent. And now I've really been able to work and make money from my comedy instead of just, you know, making money from podcasting. But when I tell people what I do from day to day, it's a lot of stuff. I think I have like 5 income streams, but I work mainly as a podcaster, as an editor. And then, you know, when I'm not doing that, I'm working on my impressions and I'm submitting auditions for random TV shows. And, you know, believe me, you'll see if I ever make it in anything. But so far I've auditioned and, you know, nothing, you know, haven't heard back, but that's the name of the game. So I'm still here, still doing the damn thing. But yeah, it is confusing explaining what really is my day job because I have like 5, but
I think it's good that TikTok exists, though. I mean, we talk about it all the time because it's like allowing people to have ownership over their own talents. So like it gives you the ability to show what you've been working on, what you've been good at, and like the people decide what's good. It has nothing to do with like networks and producers and all that stuff. So it's such a good time to be on TikTok and be like showcasing your talents.
Exactly. I couldn't believe TikTok. It's such a crazy app. At first, I was like, this is fake. Mm-hmm. No, these are fake followers.
Right.
But I've actually, you know, had people reach out to me through, for, you know, for potential job offers from TikTok. And I've, you know, slowly come to realize, okay, it's a great outlet for people, all different. I mean, you could dance on there. You can do impressions. It's a crazy app that I think appreciates all types of entertainment, really.
Totally. I know. When I first saw you were on TikTok, I was like, what took her so long? This is like the perfect app for you, because I've always seen you doing impressions like on Instagram, but sometimes like, or actually I think you used to do them on Snapchat too. I could be wrong.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. All of the above. Literally wherever I could put my face. Right. I was like, oh, I'll just use this app. Yeah.
But like TikTok is the app for video. So for sure. What I want to know is how long have you known that you wanted to go into comedy, and like, have you always known that, you know, this was the industry that you were interested in?
I definitely knew it was something I loved to do. I remember in high school and even before then, I would just love, you know, trying out voices with my friends. I have videos of when I was in grade school and it was like the first flip phone. The video looked like it was recorded on literally like a Razer iPhone. It's so scratchy, but it's like my first video that I ever did. And so I've clearly been doing impressions for a long time. But I never thought I would be financially successful in it just because it's such a hard industry. But I think it wasn't until someone else discovered me that I started having faith in myself. And I was like, okay, I should, you know, continue with comedy. But it definitely took a really long time. You know, that's why I went into radio and TV first off, because I always thought that was the smarter thing to do. Mm-hmm. But now I'm all in it. Now I'm in it. The comedy world.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And obviously, like, you know that this is a mental health podcast and we always try to keep our conversations like light. Obviously we talk about like hard things, but right now there's so much going on and there's so much like anxiety in the world. So I'd love to know first, like, about your personal journey with mental health. And then if you want to talk about kind of like how you've changed your content now, if at all. So yeah, my first question would be, you know, how do you kind of use humor through tough times? If at all, is it something that you don't associate with tough times? It's just like a hobby for you. Yeah, I'll let you take the lead.
Well, first off, I'm so happy you guys, I didn't even know we were doing an intro, but I'm so happy you guys started a podcast for this. It's such a relevant topic. And I talk about it a lot in my personal life, but I don't really put it out there. You know, I've never talked about depression or anxiety, even though I have experienced it with myself, but it's such a relevant topic. And so I just wanted to say, you know, starting off, so proud of you guys, and it's necessary and it's needed. And comedy is, for me, has always been an outlet. My mom has suffered from depression since I was very little. I think, you know, she had postpartum depression for a really long time. But of course, you know, I was a toddler, so I didn't know. But once I was probably 6 or 7, you know, we had a great family dynamic. My brother was going to college and I was in school and everything was great. And I think it happened when she started to lose her sight. She has early onset glaucoma, and that really was like onset of the heavy depression that affected her. Mm-hmm. So ever since I can remember, I think back when I was at Syracuse, she was starting to get treatment, and I have always used comedy as a way to uplift her. So that was like the family thing. I was the peacemaker. I was the comedian in the family. Like, I kept her laughing. And my dad plays a huge part into that. He's a huge part why I do comedy. He's a funny guy himself. And I think both of us had always tried to keep my mom in high spirits. So for me, it was kind of like a lifesaver in my family and a needed component. I had to be funny to keep my mom happy. But then it just became second nature and I love it. But I now, today in the world, I think comedy is needed more than ever, because if we weren't laughing, we would definitely be crying. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with, you know, thinking, okay, is my video too silly for right now? Is it going to affect some people? So I always have to be aware of that. But some videos I did, like a coronavirus impressions, like, you know, celebrity takes on coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And I put a little disclaimer at the front, like, this is totally for comedic relief. Like, I don't want anyone coming after me. I'm not joking about coronavirus. It's not something to joke about, but I definitely think we can use comedy to make people laugh and make people happy. So that is all that's where I see where I come in. And going into comedy, I'm like, okay, I'm not saving lives. I'm not a doctor. I'm not, but you know, I failed algebra. I was never good at chemistry. I had no future in that anyway. So I knew how I could help the world was through comedy and laughter. And if my impressions make people laugh, that's literally all I hope for. So I think that's where I fall in line. And we can definitely go into any of those things I talked about, but that's a general wrap up of how I think comedy plays into my mental health and mm-hmm. the world's mental health.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And when it comes to like your own mental health, do you ever wake up one day and say like, today, I don't know if I can be funny or if I can like get the courage to make others laugh today? Like, how do you overcome that?
Definitely. There are some days where I feel immense pressure to get a video out or, you know, we always have in everybody's lives. I think whatever you're working towards, you feel pressure, right? We have to be the best at this or I'm working at this. And, you know, I see tons of other comedians out there and impressionists that are far more, you know, successful than I am. And I use that and I don't want to compete with them because it's, I don't think it's a competition, but definitely wake up some days and just so out of it. And I don't feel as ambitious as I normally do. And those are hard days, but I'm a very faithful person and whatever that looks like to you. But I always, you know, I pray to my God, I'm Catholic. And I use that as a really good way to just calm myself. I'll pray, you know, I always recommend people to meditate, but I really do use that as a practice in my life. And just know that like this day does not define your whole entire life, right? You could have one bad day. And dealing with my mom with depression, I see her and sometimes she just has a dark cloud and there's no way for her to lift it. And she's like, today is just not the day. And I can't talk to anyone. And, you know, I have to respect her boundaries, but I have never experienced depression to that degree before. But the way I really get over it is, which is probably bad, but I drink tons of coffee, which always lifts me up. I try to muster energy to go for a run or do something active just to try to like get me out of the funk that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And again, like prayer, meditation, but really getting myself active and just remembering that, you know, I am my own individual and I can only do so much in a day and just not be so hard on yourself and focus on your successes. Try to just stay as active and don't focus on the bad things. And I know when you're in the moment, it's impossible. Like, oh, what am I supposed to think about the good day yesterday that I had? But mm-hmm. just using any of those good moments, I like to write stuff down. I will only use a journal to write like something that happened that was a really good day. And then if you're in a funk, I just go back and I read that amazing day. Like I wrote my whole experience with Bring the Funny. Whatever is a great experience for you, I always recommend writing those down. And that always helps me.
That's amazing. I love that advice.
Yeah. I think also like one of the things that I've used when I feel depressed or anxious is just like honestly passing time. I know that's that mm-hmm. might not be the advice that everyone would give you, but like every mood passes. So yes. being able to like occupy your brain while you wait for it to go away is one of the things that I do. And I think actually like watching your videos or like things on TikTok or content that you really like is important for people because it helps them to just like escape from, you know, mm-hmm, the mindset that they're in. I know that Sarah like has been saying actually throughout this time, there have been a couple times when she's been like kind of anxious mm-hmm, and she's like, yeah. Oh, I just looked at TikTok for an hour and like, I forgot why I was anxious.
Yeah. Like, or like it kind of brought me down. But I mean, also the reason why I love TikTok is just like one of the many reasons is because it's just so relatable. And when you go on there, like you see things that, and I feel like you also like, you know, I know that you impersonate other people, but the way that you, I guess the way that you use humor, it's just like you make people feel more grounded. Like you, I don't really know. Like you, at least for me, like you help me feel calmer and like everything's going to be okay, even if it's like something so small and simple. But at least for me, like that's where how humor helps me.
So true. I love that. And seriously, that making time pass is so true. Like I'll listen to like my favorite music for an hour mm-hmm. and I'll just like have a dance party by myself or with my mom or something. And then it just like goes away. You just, even if it's like, you know, a day, just take a time, realize it's not the end of the world and mm-hmm. it will, this too shall pass. Yeah. I always say that.
Totally.
Have you ever gotten messages from people like, you know, thanking you for like helping them cope through tough times, whether it's during COVID-19 or other tough times? I'm curious about how people react to comedians like you on social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think in the beginning, I didn't realize how, you know, positive I could affect people because I was just doing stupid videos and I thought no one was watching except for a few of my Q's friends. Mm-hmm. And slowly, you know, I would get these little messages, you know, once a month and then, you know, once a week, and they meant everything to me. Seriously, it took a whole new light for me, actually, my videos. Instead of just being a silly, you know, like, oh, this is my outlet for comedy, it ended up being wow, I'm providing some type of relief for just one person, but that meant so much to me. So, and definitely during the quarantine, people are like, I literally have had the hardest day and I went to go look at your video, one stupid video, like way in the back, they'll like bring it back up again. And that message meant so much. I'll screenshot them sometimes and I write back like, you don't realize, but you helped me, mm-hmm. you know, feel happy too. So it's kind of like a two-way street, but I have been getting a lot of messages. And like I said, it's not every day. It's not every, you know, 10 minutes. It'll be once a month. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, recently it's been a lot, but those mean so much to me. And I can't even believe it. I'm in disbelief that my videos could actually provide any relief, but it makes it all the difference.
That's so awesome. And yeah. Like, not to make it negative, but on the flip side, like, have you received mm-hmm. any messages that aren't so great on social media? And if so, I mean, I hope not, but if you have, like, how do you cope with that? Because now you're like a growing star. So what is that like?
Oh, you guys are the best. You guys have great questions. definitely there's always going to be negative. And I would receive, you know, a couple here and there, like probably like 2 years ago. And I wouldn't really let them affect me because I was like, well, you know, I can't please everybody. Mm-hmm. And I actually look up to other influencers and other comedians that say, you know, one of them says like, not everybody likes cilantro, but I, you know, if you're a cilantro person, you're going to love me. I'm a cilantro person. And I always would think about that and just think, you know, you can't please everybody and not everyone's going to love you. And I can't really think of a specific one, but you know, people would say, oh, you talk too fast, or, oh, your accents are way off. Like, that's not a British English accent at all. They never say that word, you know, little things like that shouldn't really bother, but deep down you're like, all right, I got to work on that for next time. But just realize that they could be going, you have no idea what they're going through. And you guys have said this a lot on your podcast, but yeah, you never know where someone's coming from. They could be having a bad day. They could be having a terrible experience. Someone could have talked bad to them. Return it with love. Say, I hope you're having a great day, Karen. And then, you know, move on, because you can't do anything. You can't change someone's opinion. But I just try to, you know, send them love back and then get over it.
Uh-huh. I love that.
As best I can, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because every time that we've talked about like trolls on our podcast, or we've had people on, like we've had people from Barstool Sports, and we ask them about like the real things that they get. And I do think that while some of it is so gross and hateful, it's important to humanize the messages that you get, not because you want to, you know, like get on the same level as them, but because you need to understand that like when people send messages like that, like they're probably going through something really not good and they're taking it out in a really negative way. That's no excuse, but it's mm-hmm. a reason, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I really like that. And I think during this time, especially, it's important to be sensitive, but it's also important to like just keep focused on what you're doing and not letting like naysayers get you down, because I think a lot of people, well, everyone is just like cooped up in their homes trying to vent out their anger at something that like no one knows how to deal with this. So people are really like taking out their anger in icky ways, especially on the internet. So
definitely people have too much time on their hands right now.
Exactly.
100%.
Yeah,
for sure.
Your attitude has been amazing. Like, this is like so great to see. So just so I'm clear, you've just been like, what's your life looking like in COVID-19 era? Like, have you just been continuing all of your work from home? Like, do you do all online podcast record, etc.?
It has definitely changed a little bit. Right before quarantine started, I was going back and forth between New York and DC. Mm-hmm. I do a podcast in DC, and we were in the process of making it totally online.
Wait, your podcast with Sarah?
Yeah.
Is in DC?
Yeah. So she lives in Virginia, and we've been doing it in DC forever. And we actually built a studio in her house. And I would always record there. And then because I was doing BuzzFeed as a contributor, I would then take a mega bus to New York every week and then back on Sunday nights. It was and I would post about it because I like everyone to, you know, I think it's the time of authenticity. Everyone, you just need to talk about how great, how shitty your life is, whatever. People like to see it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I would post my mega bus trips and be like, oh, another gorgeous day in my life of a mega bus, you know. But at that time I was going back and forth, and I honestly was so exhausted. I was like, this has to end soon. I've got to get a bigger job in New York that can, you know, carry all of this income and just be one income. And I was waiting for that job, and then this hit. So now I've just been all in DC living with my parents, and it hasn't changed negatively, I don't think. I mean, God bless, we're able to do so much on the internet. Like, it's insane how much we can do. I think everyone's going to like have to tell their boss, hey, I'm not coming in. I've done everything from home thus far. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, we've done the podcast remote. She's up in Maine with her family. I've done it from DC, and then we've edited right from home. BuzzFeed I'm doing also remote. And all my auditions in person have also have actually stopped. So that's been a kind of lull with any potential, you know, TV appearances, anything like that, which sucks. But luckily, I'm still able to pay, you know, all the bills I did have, just, you know, scraping by. Hopefully that stimulus check hits pretty soon for me. Hasn't hit yet, but I'll let you know when it does.
Yeah.
yeah, so far, so good. Everything's been just really taking it day by day. You know, for me, the days have gone by. I don't know what day it is. I'll look at my mom and be like, literally, like, is it – everything is done from home now. So usually, you know, I would go to church on Sunday, and then I would, you know, have a routine. And I feel like now more than ever, we've lost our routine. So God bless everyone who's staying in their routine, but it's been really hard. I think that's the hardest part, is just remembering, okay, on this day I have this, and trying to build your life back up in this crazy new world of being home all day.
Yeah, I think it's particularly hard, especially for people who's like, you have a kind of a bunch of different jobs. So right. I can imagine that it's like even a little bit more confusing for you, because you don't get up and do like an 8 to 5 like a lot of people would do.
Right.
So that can be really challenging for sure.
Yeah. How are you guys handling quarantine? What's it? You're in Philly. You guys are friends from high school?
No. So wait, no, I told you this.
Oh my God. You met from, wait, that's so good. Okay.
Yeah. We met from the Morning Toast online. Yeah. So like, so as you may know, I've been doing online relationships my whole life.
Yes.
I met Alana Dunn.
With Alana? Wait, I was going to bring that up. Yes, yeah. That's so great. Yeah.
Met Alana Dunn through the Jonas Brothers, met Liz through the Morning Toast. and we're quarantined in Philly together, and we still, thank God, have our 9 to 5 jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's been good, and that's definitely been helpful, like in our day-to-day, staying busy. But, you know, a lot of people right now are looking for ways to cope with all of this. And I think that, like, there's been so much talk about physical symptoms. But, like, I mean, luckily our society has actually started talking about mental health as well, which we're so happy about. Like, the governor of New York, Cuomo, on TV, giving counseling and mental health hotlines and whatever. So, not whatever. I mean, it's been awesome. But yeah, we're just, you know, the two of, like, I'm actually glad that we're, well, I'm glad for many reasons, but I'm glad we're quarantined together, because we're able to actually continue, like, working on this podcast and talking about mental health, because, like, right now it is so important. And I think that people are looking for not only, like, humor, but also, like, okay, now today I'm feeling anxious or I'm feeling depressed. Like, how should I cope with this? And obviously we're not experts, but, like, we're just here to say, you know, we're going through it too. You're not alone. Like, we're going to get through this together. And then we kind of just, like, talk out, you know, what we're
kind
doing,
how we're feeling,
to get through it. And I absolutely love, like, your mindset, your attitude. I feel like you're such a positive person, and I love everything you've said so far. I mean, you're just very inspirational.
That's so great. And trust me, like, some days are really bad. Some days are just like, I feel no motivation to get anything done. And then I'll beat myself up at the end of the day, and I'll just be like, I did not get anything done today. But we have never experienced this as a human race before. And there's no way to react. I think I read an article that was just like, don't beat yourself up. There is no right or wrong way to handle this. As long as you're getting up every day and you're eating and you're treating your body well, and you shower, you know, however many times you feel necessary, you're doing great. You know what I mean? So I think it's just this, we need to get over the fact of, like, you know, fat shaming. Like, I had a bunch of chips today. It's okay. No one's seeing my body anyways for the next, like, whatever, besides my mom and my dad. So it's like, it's okay, you know? And I just think we need to remind people, you know, whatever you love doing, fill your time with that, get your work done, but then fill your time with things that make you happy, because we're going to be stuck in our houses for a while.
Totally.
It's so true.
Yeah. It's insane.
I do think this is going to shift the way a lot of people, like, act in the future going forward.
Yes.
And I do like what you were saying kind of about how, when we were talking before with the messages that people sent you, like, it's so, so nice to be reminded of, like, what impact you have on people. But I, of course, know that that can come with, like, some pressure. Like, even Sarah and I, and we don't, like, have as big of an audience as you currently do, but I know that, like, sometimes I feel this pressure of, like, we are the mental health people. And so now like we have a responsibility to sort of like talk to people about how we're doing. And even though we've always branded ourselves as like relatable and we don't have everything together, and that's like what a lot of people like about us, it can be challenging because it's like, oh shit, this is a real like mental health kind of crisis that we have here. Because I think everyone being at home alone, maybe even dealing with situations that they may not have dealt with because we were just going through the normal everyday routine of our lives, is really challenging. So I just commend you for like keeping on. And even if you feel pressure, knowing that like you don't have to do the same type of content every day. Some days maybe there's more than others. And also what you said about authenticity is really important, because I think sometimes people relate a lot to someone else feeling anxious just like them. And sometimes people are like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to feel anxious. I want to watch something funny. So
exactly. And I struggle with that every day. I'm like, do people want to see that I'm having a bad day? I don't know. But you know, if I put it out there, I'm like, all right, you know, I'm trying to be as authentic as possible. And I think it is good to be authentic. You know, Instagram was made, I think, for influencers to have like the perfect body and make their lives look perfect. And they have a beautiful house. And you know, not everybody's lives are like that. So I think now TikTok has really helped with that. It's just kind of showing that everyone's different. We're all dealing with different things. Mm-hmm. And you can find your audience on TikTok, you know, the people that really want to see what you're doing day to day. But yeah. And don't take, you know, if you see someone's perfect life on Instagram, you don't actually know if it's perfect or not, you know, so
most likely it's not.
Exactly. Most likely they took that picture 10 times or 15, 20 times to get the perfect shot, not to badger any influencers, but just, you know, during this time, we're probably looking at a lot of our phones for like 50% of the day. So
totally. It's so funny that you said that TikTok, like you can find your niche, because I get videos on my feed that are like, I don't know if you get these, Liz, but it's like, it starts with a text and it's like, I heard TikTok targets people specifically to what they like. And then it's like, anxious girls, raise your hands. And I'm like, oh, pretty direct.
Yeah, that For You page is pretty accurate.
It's like anxious girls that are 25 and live in New York City and like don't know how to feel right now, but like kind of want a boyfriend, raise your hand.
How do they know? How do they know? Like, it's insane. Is it what you like?
I try to think about that part, but yeah.
They for sure are. I mean, I've told many people are like, oh, don't use TikTok because, you know, it's like a foreign country owns it. And I'm like, okay, they know everything about us. Like, hello. It's already been.
Might as well laugh while we're here.
Like, I know. Right. If completely. Exactly. So Dre, like, you know, you're like becoming a public figure, right?
You know, when people tell me that, I'm like, there's literally no inkling in my mind that I've made it yet. But I'm slowly, like, the Courtney video, which I thought was going to be idiotic, ended up being way bigger than I thought. But yes, yeah.
You're on the road, though.
We're inching our way there.
No, but sure.
Have any of the Kardashians, like, seen your stuff and responded to you yet?
The only thing that I know that happened is that Khloe commented on the fight video. She just commented like the laughing emoji. And I was like, okay. And this actually just recently happened, I think a week and a half ago. So when I saw the comment, it wasn't verified, the account, but I think it just doesn't show verifications in your notification feed. Right. But then I went to her page and I was like, oh shit, it was Khloe.
That's unbelievable.
But you know, who knows? I'm sure they get tagged in like a bajillion things a day. Like imagine being their Instagram account. I would it's just busy constantly. The stream of stuff would be insane to me.
No, yeah. Sarah and I are fascinated by like famous people's Instagram accounts and how they manage their notifications.
They must miss at least like 80% of them.
Well, we actually found, I don't know if this is just an Instagram thing or a Twitter thing, but if you're are you verified anywhere yet?
No.
Okay.
That blue check.
That's coming soon. That's your next step. But apparently on Twitter, like there's like a verified tab so you can like all the verified, you knew about this?
No, I didn't.
Oh. So like, there's a verified tab. So you really can only sort, like if you want to disregard everyone who's not verified, you can, and you can only look through the verified people that are talking to you.
Okay. Yes. So the relevant, you know, actually actors and famous people.
Right. So like, if you want to never speak to someone not famous ever again, like you could, which you could do very soon if you would like.
Yeah. We'll really see. I mean,
she's great.
Thank you. Yes. Wow.
I think the Kardashians are really good people to impersonate because they don't like really take things personally anymore. Like they're so big. Yes. Like I think even Nori's Black Book, which is so savage, Like, so savage. Like, and Chloe and Courtney have all commented just like laughing, because even though they're harsh sometimes, like, it's funny. And I do think the way that Chloe and them probably find you is, I'm sure people in their network find you and like send it to them because they're so appreciative that people are doing this. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's right. It's only good press for them when people impersonate them. So I think it's just, it's awesome.
Exactly. I mean, any press is good press, as I say. So, you know, talk shit about me, at least I'm still in the papers, so it's fine. That's what I
said. We're going to need Courtney to see it though, like to comment soon. That's
oh, for sure. I mean,
oops, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say Chloe commented. I mean, yeah, where is the Courtney comment?
Like, where is Courtney? But are you tired of the Courtney impression yet?
That is so funny. You know, it's, I don't know if you guys know, just think of any one hit wonder artist and they just are constantly asked to do that, but that is their fucking hit and they must sing it for the rest of time. And Courtney got me Fame. So I will be doing Courtney until the day I die. I swear. Like, it doesn't bother me when people ask, am I tired of it? A little bit, just because, you know, I want to be able to master other voices that good. But you know, that's the sellout act that I have. So,
because it's so, I personally think everything you touch is hilarious, but the Courtney impression is so, like, you've mastered it to a point that I don't think anyone else has mastered it. So it's like people can't believe their eyes. They literally have to like close their eyes and hear you and then be like, that's not actually, that has to be Courtney.
And you don't not look right. like her. So like you also kind of look like her, which definitely
a
helps.
A little bit. Right. Yeah. I have this weird hair right here that doesn't allow me to have a middle part. That's my only issue right now, is that it just grows left. It's been like that since I was little. It's really, really keeping me back from getting the perfect Courtney middle part. But, you know, I'll just have to use gel or something.
Or a wig.
Very true. Very true.
Hers are wigs anyways. Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know if she wears wigs. But
they probably, I would not be surprised. Right. Some of them, but...
All right. Well, do you have any other?
I don't think so. Questions? This has been so awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes. Now, what do you guys recommend for somebody that I've talked about this with the Hey Phrase podcast that I'm on, but it is a call in service that offers therapy right now, which is a great option for people. What is that called?
Yeah. I've been looking up. We actually work with BetterHelp, full disclosure, and we'll like do BetterHelp. That in this episode too. But
more sponsor for them. That's great.
Yeah, no, there's BetterHelp, which is like a great online service that people can use. And we like it because it's like you can schedule phone calls with people, but you can also text during the day, which makes all the difference, because like even people with traditional in-person therapists who are now moved to telehealth don't always like text. It's not like part of the deal. So that's the one we work with and that's the one we like.
BetterHelp. Got it. And you can text them. That's great. And you can you choose your therapist or they select someone for you?
You can choose. There's like thousands of professionals to sort through and yeah. And
okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's an awesome service. And as Liz said, like, you know, we both had therapists before quarantine that have had to move to video because of all of this, but BetterHelp has always done video. Like that's their thing. So, you know, it was a pretty seamless transition and, you know, we hope that people use it because we're huge advocates of therapy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I've always talked about really setting a time to go and do that because I'm all 100% for therapy. I've just never had my parents have never been like, hey, like we could suggest this for you. And I've always been open to it. And I think I'm going to make it like my goal to really like sign up because I think it's a great outlet. And I do want to talk to somebody, you know, that has no judgment zone. And I've always looked to that. I've just never sat down and like taken the time to do it. But you guys have really, you know, I mean, you and a lot of other people, but they've encouraged me to talk to somebody.
It's literally like someone who not only won't judge you, but like is on your side always. Like they're not there to fight you. They're just there to help.
Like advocate for you, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. In a world where we feel like a lot of times we don't have any advocates,
right?
Besides like our loved ones, but
even
you know,
your own parents, you might not feel like can actually give you the support that you need.
Right. So true.
They love you so much, but they can't always provide you with the best support.
Exactly. Could not have said it better. Yes. And they all have their own trauma too, that they need to unhash themselves.
Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
We're the generation of like opening up our minds to this type of thing. So we kind of have to figure these things out all for ourselves.
By ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But it wasn't as big back my parents' generation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no.
I actually saw a meme today and it was like boomer generation. Yeah. So I'm going to be going to therapy. And then it's like Gen Z and millennials. Yo, can't wait to tell you what my therapist said. Thank you so much for joining us. We are both, you know, huge fans of yours and can't wait to see what else you do, where else you go. Please plug yourself so that our listeners can find you and continue to grow your fame.
Love you guys so much. Thank you for having me. I mostly can be found on TikTok and Instagram at Andrea Lopez Comedy. And if you ever want to check out, you know, connect with me, it's AndreaLopezComedy.com for my website.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. Love you guys. You're gorgeous. It's so good to talk with you.
I'm horrible in this lighting, but it's fine.
I'm using my outside lighting right now, but
yeah, that's why you look
amazing. Is a setup.
Not that bad.
Okay.
I love you guys.
Love you.
Stay safe.
Bye.
DM me all the time, Sarah. I want to talk to you. Okay. Love you guys. It was so nice meeting you too.
Bye. That was our episode with Andrea Lopez Comedy. She is so great. Love her attitude so much.
Awesome. Such a bright light and so positive. And it's like really hard for people to be positive during this time, but it's really nice to see someone just like shucking and jiving and doing her thing.
Completely. I feel like her energy like rubbed off on us.
Totally. That being said, you know where to find us, but we'll always remind you. You can find us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. You can follow me at Liz Height. And then on Twitter, I'm at LizTweets5.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And did you already say where you can find us on Twitter? Sorry.
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't say where you can find the podcast on Twitter. That would be at It's Fine, I'm Fine, PD. There wasn't enough room.
Sounds like we're the police department.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so that's all we got for today.
That's all we got.
And with that... It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye. Bye.